Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
How was your week? Okay. I'm cool with that. I want you to know I had a good week. And here's why. I got to do something that is becoming a annual event for me. Last year, I got to tell you, I'm not a pastor's meeting kind of person generally, okay? I don't know, just not generally. And so I've been getting invitations for the last couple years from Global Leadership Summit to attend their once a year, two-day pastors meetings that they have for the lead pastors of churches that host the Global Leadership Summit. Now, if you have no idea what Global Leadership Summit is, let me tell you, we host in August a two-day event where we ask anybody who wants to become a better leader, and that's really all of us, to come here to the church and hear from leadership experts on how to grow as a leader and as a person. And so the cool thing about Global Leadership Summit is they have that for everybody, but then they also want to invest in pastors, so they have a special two-day event for pastors. And last year, I went I'd gotten several years I've been invited, I'm like, I don't know that's gonna be for me. And last year I went and I realized what I'd been missing out on, because it was powerful. It really inspired me to be a better pastor, to grow as a leader. It was incredible. And so I had the opportunity again this year to go and be a part of that. And I just hope that each one of you will just take a moment to stop and invest in yourself. It's easy to kind of get into the routine of the things that have to be done. For me, going away this week was not easy in the sense that there's so much you still have to catch up on. You still have all the regular stuff you need to do, like writing a sermon and everything else. But family, take time to invest in yourself as a person, to grow, to stretch yourself, and to be around people who will stretch you and make you grow. And so for me, this week was really fantastic to hear some of the speakers that they had and to be kind of encouraged to grow as a person and as a pastor. So that was fantastic. But you want to know what the best part of this week was for me? That was really good. But the best part of the week was this. And I need to back up a little bit. When I was the youth director in the Kentucky-Tennessee Conference, I had to do a lot of traveling around Kentucky and Tennessee, a lot of traveling around the United States. And so one of the habits that I got in because I was gone a fair amount was that we would try to give our kids the opportunity to travel with me when that was possible. And so we'd have little lotteries of, okay, Kyla gets to come to Lexington, Eric's gonna go to Louisville, and we'd have these, and so the kids would sometimes travel with me when that worked out with the schedule for them, and it was really fun. And so here's a picture of one that Kyla, she was just a little too young to go to this campery, so she came with me. So she got to go, and she thought it was pretty cool. And you can tell it was a daddy-daughter trip because look at her hair. Not done well. You can definitely tell that. And then the other picture with me with Eric is at Gettysburg. Both he and I love history. And so we were on one particular trip and we were in the Gettysburg area. So we stopped and did that. And it was a phenomenal time. So last week, I'm planning on this trip up to Washington, D.C. for the event that I told you about this week. And it hit me, Eric's on a break from school. And so I said, Eric, you wanna do a trip with me? And so Eric said, Dad, yeah, I am on a break. I can definitely do this. He's going back to starting school back this next week, but he had this week free. And I gotta tell you guys, the conference was phenomenal. It really was. But driving 2,000 miles in the space of 4 days in a car with my son, it's priceless. Priceless. And, you know, my kids are both, Kyla's 21, Eric's 20, and it kind of hits me hard that, you know, I don't know how many of these road trips I have left with them. You know, I'd like to think when they get to be 40 years old, they'll do that, but I'm kind of guessing they're going to have their own family and their own life, and that's good, and it's a little sad, right? And so we had this just amazing time together. And one of the other really amazing parts of that trip was that I figured out how to, my parents live in North Carolina. So Sunday, Monday are generally, I call Sunday my on-call day and Monday is my day off. So I drove up to my parents' house and spent Sunday night with them before making the trip up to Washington, D.C. And I got to hang out with my parents as well. And today what I want to talk to you about is the penultimate sermon in my four-part series on love. And we've been talking about how in the Greek language, there's more than one word for love. In other words, in English, we kind of have the word love and it covers a really broad spectrum of things. And today I want to talk to you about the Greek word storge. And storge refers to familial love. It's that love that's natural and instinctive. You know, nobody had to ever tell me to love my son and my daughter. That wasn't something that I like had to really, well, sometimes I have to work on it, but most of the time it's pretty, now I never have to work on it. Like even when my kids are frustrating me, I love them. I give my life for my kids. I wouldn't even have to think about it. And I was having this conversation with one of our church members who's a woman. She says, you think as a father, she goes, you have no idea as a mother. And I'll just have to take her word for it. I don't know. I just know what as a father I feel for my kids. And so this storge in Greek is this natural affection that families have for each other. It's the affection a mother or a father would have for their children. And the affection that children will have for their parents. One of the incredible things to me as I was listening to somebody talk about being a foster parent and some of the trainings that I've had to go through, one of the things that I was told is that as foster parents, you are trained to never speak badly of your child, your foster child's birth parents or the parents that they're coming from, even though some of these parents have done horrendous things. And why is that? It's because even when a child knows their parent has done something horrendous to them, there's an instinctive part in them, but yeah, that's my parent. You can't say bad things about them, even if you're right. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had somebody say something bad about your parent that you knew was true, but it made you upset anyway? And that's when we're talking about, when we start talking about storge, we are talking about this instinctive love that's inside of us. It's protective, it's natural. So let me go ahead and dive a little bit deeper into it by having you see what some of the Greek philosophers had to say, because this storge is a Greek word. So let's see what Aristotle had to say. Aristotle said, parents then love their children as being a part of themselves, for the offspring is a sort of another self. And so Aristotle's trying to basically say, hey, he's trying to philosophize it and say, well, the reason why you love your child is because they're really a part of you, right? And so that's the reason you love them. And I appreciate Aristotle, but can I suggest to you that I think it goes a little bit deeper, that I think God planted that in our hearts. It's not just a simple, well, this is a part of me, but God's like, puts that instinct into us. And so while I appreciate what Aristotle has to say on that, and I think there's some points to it, it's important for us to understand that's something God has put into us. Another part of what Aristotle really thought, and that I think is also really kind of important for us to think about, is that storge is unbalanced. This was an idea that Aristotle put out. What do I mean by storge is unbalanced? Well, moms who have had babies, does that baby love you equally back? No, the baby is very dependent on you. The baby will grow to love you in important ways, we hope. But you don't love that baby because there's an equal relationship. And that's what Aristotle's saying when he says it's unbalanced. Storge love is not the kind of love that's saying, oh, you love me, so I'll love you. Or we're going to keep track of and make sure that things equal out. Instead, storge is unbalanced. It has nothing to do with how much the other person loves you. It has everything to do that it's in your heart. It's in you. It's instinctive. Make sense? Okay. So let's take a look at another philosopher, Plato. Plato said, a child is born to us, and the love of the parents for their offspring and for the offspring of their parents is a natural necessity more powerful than any laws. And so Plato is basically saying, even the laws of a country will not get in the way of the love between parents and their children and children and their parents. And Plato actually thought this was a problem. He's like, we need you to do what the country wants you to do. And if you love your parents, you love your kids more, then you might not do what our country needs you to do. And so Plato suggested that children need to be raised communally. That never really took off. That, at least not the way he wanted it to. Why? Because instinctively, that's my kid. And I'm happy. I want you to speak into my child's life. I do. I need a village around them. I do. I need you guys to love my kids. But guess what? They're my kids. And you will never love them the way I do. At least I can't imagine that you could. And so that was Plato's take on it. And here's another Stoic philosopher from the Greek tradition. And I murder his name every time, so I'm just not even going to say it. Just beyond my ability. Okay, I'll try. Epictetus. I don't know. All right. Does any man despise his own child? No. It is natural, storge, for a parent to love the child. It is part of our constitution. Now, the Stoics believe that humans are born with this natural storge inside themselves. And the goal of a virtuous person is to go ahead and expand your storge. Are you following me? So for the Stoics, they're like, it's natural for you to love your children. It's natural for children to love their parents. And what you have to do then is take that storge and expand it out to maybe your cousins. And then maybe out into your friend group. And so storge, in their opinion, was something that needed to expand, not just stay in this little central place. And I want you to take that, hold on to it, because we're going to come back to it in the Christian tradition. And a few of you are saying to me, like, thank you for this nice walk with the Greek philosophers. I came here to talk about the Bible today. So let's do that. Let's talk about what the Bible has to say about this kind of love. And I'd actually like to start off in the Old Testament that's written in Hebrew. So this is not a Greek word, is going to be there. But I think the concept is still there. And I want you to see it probably in its most powerful manifestation. God's talking to his people through the prophet Isaiah. And he says, Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us. Never. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child that she has given birth to? Even if that were possible, I would not forget you. You hear that? Isn't that beautiful? Could you put your name? Ken says, the Lord has deserted me. Put your name in. Have you ever said that? I think God's deserted. I think he's forgotten me. And I need you to hear God say to you, never, never, not a chance. Not a chance. Even if a mother, and sadly we do know in the world that we live in, there are some times where this happens. But even if it were possible for a mother to forget her nursing child, I would never do that. I will never desert you, says God. And so the first thing that I want you to take away from this sermon today is when you find yourself in a low place, I want you to remember that God has storge for you. Natural, instinctive love for you that is not predicated on a balanced relationship. God doesn't need you to love him more so he can love you. He just naturally loves you. Period. And we hear it in the New Testament in Jesus' voice. Jesus is talking to Jerusalem again, saying, the city that kills the prophets and stones the messengers, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath the wings, but you wouldn't let me. The word storge is not in there, to be clear, but that's what he's talking about. He says, basically, you have murdered the prophets, you have done horrific things, and guess what? I still storge you. I still instinctively love you. In spite of that, I've wanted you to come back, but you wouldn't let me. So family, let's be 100% clear. When it comes to our relationship with God, he storges us. He instinctively loves us. And the only question, you are never abandoned unless you choose to tell God to leave you alone. And then God loves you enough to honor your request. But that doesn't mean he doesn't keep on looking for you. As the story of the lost sons, often called the prodigal son, tell us. What we know in that story, this is a story all about storge, this young son, this hugely disrespectful to his father, does unthinkable things in his time and culture to his dad, takes the family fortune, squanders it, and when it's all out, he finds himself having to work in a horrific job that he enjoys not at all. And he comes to his senses, Jesus says in the story, and realizes that even the servants in his father's house are treated better than he's being treated. So he thinks, I have no right to go back as a son, but maybe, just maybe, my dad will let me be a servant. And Jesus says in the story, while he was yet a long way off, the father saw him and ran to him. And I cannot begin to tell you, I don't have time to unpack this, but in the culture and the time, what the father did by doing that was scandalous. And it also meant that that father was watching for him, that he wanted him to go home. And as I've preached about this before, we often think in the story, why didn't the dad go looking for him? And the reason was because it was the oldest brother's job to do it. And the oldest brother decided he didn't want to do it, which is a little lesson for us here on earth. The older brother thought he'd rather stay home and reap the riches of the family fortune rather than go looking for his brother and take a chance his brother was going to get another crack at messing up the inheritance. And how many of us treat people like that? You wouldn't really, if I did that for you, you'd just squander it. And God wanted The father wanted that son to go look for his lost brother. And the beauty of it is that we have a father in heaven who sent the son. And the oldest son, God's son, came and looked for us while we were yet sinners. It's beautiful. God wants you to know today, family, that he loves you. He is looking for you. And he loves you with instinctive love that does not need to be balanced. And the question is, do you want to be found? Do you want to come home? It's the question. So, how many times does storge actually show up in the New Testament? You know me, it's a trick question. So you can guess if you want, but I'm just letting you know, it's a trick question. The answer is, in its noun form, zero times. However, it shows up in three-ish places. What do I mean by that? Well, if you put the letter A in front of storge and say a storge, it means the opposite of. And so it shows up in two places as the opposite of. So let's take a look at one of those places. It's found in Romans, which was written by Paul. He's talking about people who are rejecting God. They refuse to understand. They break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. The are heartless is that a storge word. In other words, they don't have instinctive love. They don't love in a familial way. They don't look out at the world and say, hey, I want to love you in an unbalanced way. It doesn't matter whether you love me back. I want to love you that way. And so it's important for us to understand that people who are rejecting God, that's part of what it looks like to reject God, is to be heartless. in the way we treat others, to not have compassion, to not have empathy. This is not the way of Christ. The other place is in 2 Timothy, which Paul also wrote. And Paul said, describing people who have rejected God, they will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. I see a lot of that in the world, my friends. They will not have natural love, instinctive love, and they will be unforgiving. By the way, that word unforgiving doesn't probably mean exactly what you think it does in the original language it's written in. That word is actually probably is better translated, they are truce breakers, which you're like, well, it's probably good they said unforgiving because I don't even know what truce breaker, what does that mean? So that word for unforgiving, and it's paired together with they don't have natural instinctive love and they're unforgiving, meaning that they're not willing to compromise at all. They're never willing to go, even when you are willing to go ahead and try to make things right, they're like, no, you can't, there's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. I don't want to have peace. I don't want to get along. And so these words are paired together. They're astorge, and they are truce breakers. They aren't willing to ever find peace. There is a third place, again, where storge is kind of used in the Bible. But again, it's like last week when I talked to you about how philoxenia was paired together. In this particular place, phileo that we talked about last week is paired with storge. They're smashed together as a word. And this is what it looks like. It says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. So the genuine affection is that phileo storge word that's been put together. But what's interesting is the first word, love, that's up there. That's actually Philadelphia. So Paul is doing a play on Greek words. He's saying Philadelphia, philostorge. Philadelphia, philostorge. So he's saying, be friends. And this is, by the way, this is my studied opinion after studying this. I think what Paul is saying is, be friends and let that friendship make it instinct. Let that friendship move beyond something that you're attracted to the other person because there's things in common or whatever, and let it proceed to being something that becomes instinctive in your heart, that it becomes a natural part of who you are and that you honor others. You know, you guys, I know I've talked to you about Furman Fordham before, but he has made a huge impact on my life. And Furman, his nickname is Puck, to those of us who are friends with him. And my kids joke that in Ken's life, there was before Puck and after Puck. And I remember the first time I met Furman was at a pastor's meeting that I did not want to go to. And here was a guy who, from my vantage point, was very different than me. He was the lead pastor of a predominantly black church. I was the pastor of a predominantly white church. I honestly did not even know where his church was located, and it was 10 minutes away. I'm embarrassed to say it, but it's true. And family, I was in a desperate place at that point. I was feeling overwhelmed in my job. I was a pastor of a very large church, and I didn't have anybody that I felt like understood what that was like and what was going on. And so I tried to reach out to other pastors. There was no other churches of that size anywhere near that were Adventist. So I started looking at other denominations for pastors that looked like me. And I couldn't find anybody that would take the time. And at this meeting, when Puck talked, I heard somebody that felt a lot like me. And I reached out to him after the meeting and said, I could really use somebody who understands, some mentoring, And he's like, well, I don't know about mentoring, but what if we just get together? I'd love to get to know you. And that began a phileo relationship. And in getting to know him, it started changing parts of me. This is, remember when Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee because when the national anthem would happen? I grew up in a household where my dad told me to stand up when the TV went off late at night. And the it didn't matter where you were, what you stood up. And so for the life of me, I could not begin to understand how it was at all appropriate for Kaepernick to be doing that. And Puck and I started having conversations about it. And I started seeing through a different lens than the one I'd been raised with. And it was interesting that we both started sharing our hearts. And suddenly, I might not agree with everything, but man, I love you. And if it hurts you, it hurts me. Because that's what happens when you change from phileo to storge. You know, guys, I don't always agree with everything with my kids, but when something hurts them, it hurts me. Are you following me? My question for you, the first thing is, if God loves you in an unbalanced storge kind of way, are you willing to enter into that with other people? Are you willing to love in an unbalanced way? I'll tell you what. I storge Puck. That man is family. In fact, you guys, if I get hit by a bus when I walk out of here today, you know who's going to be preaching my funeral? It's going to be Puck. Puck will be in here talking about me. And hopefully, more importantly, the reason he'll be here is because I don't want him to talk about me. I want him to talk about Jesus. Because we're family. And my question to you today is, who have you written off as being too different, too not like you? Add whatever you want to that. And my question is, are you missing out on one of God's greatest blessings in your life? When God puts somebody in your life, do you go, oh, no, no? Or do you say, let me go ahead and enter into friendship with you? And let me leave open the possibility that, not only the possibility, but let me move beyond phileo into storge.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life Takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening and have a great week.